Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ho, ho, ho! Happy festive season from everybody at the Legend of the Travelling TARDIS.
My name is Christian Basil. Years ago, I had an idea. I got myself a TARDIS. Took it to new places, met a lot of new people, took some great pictures, and talked Doctor Who. From Krypton Radio and the creators of the Hanging With web show, this is the legend of the Traveling TARDIS. Join me on my latest adventures and become part of the legend.
Here we are. This is it. The last episode of Doctor Who, the Flux series, or the Flux. I almost said the bad word. Doctor Who Flux series. This is going to be the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS's episode, the final episode, review, watch party, and predictions of the episode, better known as, let me find the dang banner because I got a lot of things in here. I know I got a ton of stuff. I got a ton of stuff because we got a lot of stuff to go over today before even we do the watch party. But today we are going to be reviewing Chapter 6, The Vanquishers. Now, here's the thing, and let me introduce my buddy over here, Dave Chapman of the rathole.ca. How you doing?
Hello.
Welcome. What the heck is that thing growing on the bottom of your chin, dude? What is that?
Hey, you've seen me with it more than you see me without it. But
okay.
Well, you just gotten used to it without, because I shaved it off at the beginning of, you know, lockdowns.
Yeah, I know. I got my own growing.
It'll come and go.
I've got the Asian curse, so it's growing out like it doesn't grow straight. It doesn't curly. Weird stuff happening on my face out there. So, yeah, we're going to get to your chats. I can't believe I was reading the chats, and there are a lot of them. They're just scrolling off the page out there. So, please, just want to let you know, we will be doing a live chat party. First of all, this is the first time ever joining us at the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS, welcome. We're going to be doing this in three sections. The first one, in the first hour, we're going to be doing our predictions. We're going to have a little bit of the news. I've got an article to read that somebody had sent me, and I was like, oh, okay, whoa, this is interesting. The second half, which will be in the second hour, you'll be watching, and I'm hoping Dave can join us. If not, no big deal, because we'll be doing the live watch party. I'll be watching it as it premieres in an hour from now on BBC America. And anytime that they go to a commercial break, I'll be telling you what's going on, or at least I won't be spoiling it. Let me take that back. I will be telling you what I feel about what's going on. Let me put it that way. I know a lot of you have decided you wanted to be watching it with me. So I'll let you know exactly when I start. And when we go to commercial break, I'm going to let you know exactly where I pause so that you can stay with me if you're watching. Or if you're watching on BBC America, then no worries. You're going to see when the commercial breaks hit out there. And then at the last hour, however long we can stay, depending upon, we're going to say about an hour, we're going to be reviewing the episode. And Dave will be here as long as he can. I'm hoping we're going to have a third member of our team coming in here, but we haven't received a response from her. And just want to let you know... Yep, let me find that little clip, because in the third hour, we're going to say for the first 2 hours, at least during the predictions and the watch party, no spoilers. After the episode's over...
What?
Spoilers.
Oh. Fantastic.
We're going to be spoiling the hell out of it. We're going to tell you about everything that we know. So if you decide you haven't seen the episode and you want to watch up until the end of the watch party, that's fine. And then watch later. And then you'll get my take and review. And if Dave's on, he's going to give his take and review as well out there.
Now, it's not going to be no spoilers. It's going to be no spoilers for this episode.
For this
if
episode.
If you have not caught up on Flux, like I haven't, there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah, full disclosure, Dave has not seen the last episode. And if he's able to, he's definitely going to stick around for this episode to see if it's... So he's going to miss an episode if he decides to stay and watch and review it out there. And don't forget...
I might watch it while you're watching the next one.
There you go. Now, just to let you know, we've actually reviewed the other episodes, which include The Survivors of the Flux, The Village of the Angels, Once Upon Time, War of the Centaurs, the second chapter, and the first chapter, The Halloween Apocalypse. All of those are available on the YouTube channel. As you can see down below, please subscribe there at youtube.com, The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. We're trying to reach 2,000 YouTube subscribers by the end of the year, and you can help us out. Share, like, subscribe, tell people, comment, help us get the algorithms out there. And not only that, we've got one more goal that I'm trying to reach. We may even get to this goal by the end of this episode. Oh, I lost Dave. Hopefully Dave will be coming back shortly. So also, if you are in the holiday mood, and as the holidays are coming up, there he is. The holidays are coming up. We've actually, and you can actually see Dave and our teammates. We did a foodie Thanksgiving Day special, but this foodie special is for all the holidays. If you want to make it a Christmas special, Hanukkah special, I think that's still going on at the moment. So, for whatever holiday that you celebrate, we have some food recommendations, vegetarian, and you get to see some of our members live actually prepare the food out there. And I have a wonderful update and news that, you know, Professor Jericho from the Flux series. I've been excited to see him, and spoiler alert, he is in two of the episodes that we know of, and I'm hoping he is in the third episode out there. He will be returning to Legend of the Traveling TARDIS in the new year to talk about his role in the Flux series. But if you want to catch his previous episode, check him out. We got the link over on the Facebook page and on the YouTube channel, our interview with Kevin McNally. You can just do a search for it by name out there. So without
I think he is in this next episode. I did read somewhere.
I do think he's in this next
episode. I don't know if he confirmed it or if BBC confirmed it, but it was a legitimate source. It wasn't just some random internet thing, but it was confirmed that he's supposed to be in three episodes, so he should be in this one too.
I'm hoping he's in the next series. I hope he's in the 14th Doctor series. I hope he makes it that far, because I'm really...
There was a rumor, and it obviously just a rumor. He is the 14th Doctor. I could see that. I would totally be down for that.
Let me just say this. I did find that article, and full disclosure, Kevin and I are Facebook friends, and I actually sent him the article, and I said, is there something you're not telling me? He goes, I think they got that wrong. Either he's not telling me, which would be absolutely Kevin.
Legit.
I really hope he actually... Now, if you're not familiar with Kevin McNally, I showed you a picture. I don't have a picture with me in the file. I'll try to see if I can find it. Or if Dave, you can summon it up. He plays Professor Jericho in the Flux series. He started in the Village of the Angels. He's been in the episode Survivors of the Flux. And I'm hearing, I think it's just natural. I haven't seen the episode yet, but he's supposed to be in The Vanquishers, which is the last episode out there. There's a lot of chat. Holy cow, there's a lot of chat. So I will get with them. Some of them came in beforehand. I know there are people talking to each other. So let me, if I skip over your chats, I apologize. I'm going to try to see if I can get to them, but I'm going to get to the point where the series started. So we just want to say hello to Mark Robinson. Hey, everybody. I know Mark is leaving. He's got to go to bed. So we'll see. Mark, get some sleep down there. You can catch it. We'll have the episode ready tonight, and you can watch it on the YouTube or on our Facebook page. Tom says reflux.
Yeah.
Robin, Mark says, oh, you got your team back, doesn't need us now. No, I need
we always need you, Mark.
Family. And you, Mark, mentioned it as the online family. So the Traveling TARDIS online family. So yes, we are very happy that everybody joins us in this. Yet it is. Hello, and on our YouTube channel, don't forget to subscribe over at the YouTube channel. Help us get us 2,000. We're slowly climbing up there. And I know we can make it, but we need your help out there. Melbourne trip. Hey, y'all. There you go. And a happy Sunday to you. Yet it is. Yes, happy, very happy Sunday. And I don't want to say too much because, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, so I'm going to continue on for this moment. Let me get to the end of the chats here. Tip for the New Year's trailer at the end of, on BBC was cut short, but full trailer is now on YouTube. Oh, okay. Well, hopefully, I'm sure they're going to run it on BBC America, so we'll check out the trailer out there. Yes,
we can run it on this, but we keep getting yelled at for that.
Yeah, I know. there was one scene that we played, and then the BBC said, what are you doing? So it's like, okay, fine, whatever. So we had
not worth the effort to try and find
Not worth the effort. Yeah, but it was a cool scene. It was a really cool scene. It's 11 going like, I am the doctor and I am afraid. And the BBC said, nope, you can't have that clip. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll take it out. Fine.
It is technically completely fair use, but it's just not worth it.
Yeah, it's like, where do you want to have this fight? And especially on YouTube, it's just like I don't want any, you know, three strikes you're out on YouTube, and I don't want to take that chance out there. Mark Robinson says, yes, Kevin is in this episode, nothing, no more. Okay, he's not going to tell me what happens afterwards, so whether he's going to stay in or not, I hope he does. And Mark, thank you for subscribing. If you haven't already, folks, subscribe to youtube.com/TheLegendOfTheTravelingTARDIS. Help us reach 2,000 subscribers by the end of this year, or just get us a really big number. We are very grateful for every single user, for every single subscriber who comes and joins us out here. I'm trying to see.
Here's your picture.
Yes, there you go. There's Dr. Jericho. He plays that in the Flux series, and apparently he will be in the Vanquishers, which I'll be watching very shortly. And I'm just gonna jump this up. Where's the picture? And he plays Hugo Lang. If you look in the upper left-hand corner of your screen, he plays Hugo Lang in the episode The Twin Dilemma, which is actually the first Sixth Doctor episode, Colin Baker starting in the role. And that's him. He's also very known. Everybody knows him as Gibbs. I keep on getting wrong. I think it's just Josemi Gibbs in the Pirates of the Caribbean series. So I was excited to see him come back. Speaking of excitement, we want to wish somebody a very happy birthday, and it is today, if you're listening to us right now, December the 5th, 2021, Catherine Tate's birthday, Donna Noble herself. She turns a beautiful 52, and that's her with the Traveling TARDIS right there. She was born December 5th, 1969, so very happy birthday to you there, Catherine. And I remember when I took this picture, everybody was asking, what did she do to her arm? I think she had a skiing incident, but I'm hoping by now she is recovered, but we got her with the Traveling TARDIS. So happy birthday. Happy birthday, Catherine, the nice 52 years old. And don't forget, go over to, where's my banners? Flipping banners here. Go over to the Facebook page, facebook.com, the Traveling TARDIS, where we're celebrating the 25 days of Humus. And just to give you a few pictures that haven't been set up yet or on their way to the Traveling TARDIS out there for you guys on the Facebook and the YouTube channel out here. Here's some pictures, Dave, of Universal Orlando's Macy's Day Parade. We've got four of them, but there's a lot more coming. But I just want to give you a little sneak preview. And this girl right here, I asked her to take a picture, and she goes, oh, yes, TARDIS. And that's the pose that she took. That's what we came up with. And it was just gorgeous out there.
That's perfect.
They actually have in one of the Universal Studios areas over by, they call it the Tribute Store. And they normally they do it, I guess, for when a movie comes out or when they have a holiday like Halloween Horror Nights. And this time it's set for Christmas, but they have a room that's specifically Harry Potter. And this is one of the Christmas trees in that Harry Potter room out there. So I was loving that. I was so loving that out there. Uh-oh. Hold on.
Yeah.
We're having trouble.
I had the same problem when one day too. Like the episode that I was hosting, like, had the same issue. So I don't know.
Yeah, I apologize. I just had an alert come from one of the Facebook channels, sci-fi.radio. I don't know why, but it dropped the link there. So if you're, yeah, it definitely, if you are, you definitely want to subscribe to the YouTube channel, because we put not only the content up there, but we also put exclusive content. This was outside in one of the Christmas trees out front.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And my favorite, I couldn't have timed this better out there, Dave. Santa saying hi to Jody.
Nice.
So that is just a hand, thumbnail pictures for the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. The legend started about 9 years ago. It's going to be its 10th year next year of traveling, going places, taking pictures with such. And without further ado, I want to be happy to make this announcement. Dave, you are hosting an episode on the 14th.
I believe that's not this coming Tuesday, but the Tuesday after.
So the Tuesday after. Correct. We're going to be taking a break for a week, maybe, depending upon if Melanie's got more chocolate boxes that we didn't even know about out there. But Dave will be hosting a special board game special. He'll be hosting for The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS in conjunction with the rathole.ca. The following weekend, Phantasmagoria will be returning and doing a special Christmas episode on the 21st of December. Just days before Christmas, and they're going to have a great Christmas episode for you. So please, please subscribe to the Facebook or YouTube channel if you want to check it out there. And don't forget, they've made the announcement. I don't have it in the file, but I will make it clear. The 1st of January 2022 will be Eve of the Daleks. I think that's the title, if I'm not mistaken. It's called Eve of the Daleks. Let me just verify that real fast, because we got the picture. I was literally sent the picture like a moment. Yeah, Eve of the Daleks. So on New Year's Day, that's going to be happening. That would actually be a good Christmas special, Eve of the Daleks, Christmas Eve of the Daleks. Why can we not have? I'm just like, what, Dave? I just have a question. Why can we have a Christmas episode? What's wrong with the Christmas episodes? I miss them. I love them.
Me too. I absolutely adored them. I wonder if it wasn't and I do not say this in any sort of a bad way, an inclusion thing, because not everybody does Christmas.
I'm
wondering if that's not at least part of that discussion. That being said, great. If you're not doing Christmas, you have more time to watch Doctor Who.
That's, I think it's become a tradition all over the planet. Yeah. I know that people have their means of what they celebrate. And folks have Hanukkah, folks have Kwanzaa, winter solstice, whatever. But I always thought of Christmas being an inclusive holiday, especially around this. And it just seems tradition that we have it. And now that it's missing, it doesn't feel right. Because on The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS, I've been rerunning clips of classic, what I'm now considering classic New Who, of episodes from Doctor Who, for their episodes like the Christmas Invasion, the Christmas Carol, the Doctor, the Witch, and the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe, all those. And I'm like, okay, now it's time to bring in Joe. Oh, she hadn't done anything.
No.
So looking to, do you have something for us there, Dave? I see something set up.
This is me being all sorts of, it's just me.
Oh, okay. This is the rathole.ca.
This is my link tree. So linktr.ee. You can get to my. I'm scrolling my mouse over this, like you can see my mouse. So I don't always do that. But we are doing a bunch of holiday reviews. So you can see that top link. That's when we get my names back up. That's the straight URL. Did a great interview with Jeff Stormer from Party of One podcast, award-winning podcaster. That link is still up there. That was live last week. But in there, we've also got my YouTube channel, and I would love to have like an extra 25 people subscribe to it between now and the end of the year kind of thing.
So if you not only subscribe to our channel, but when you get a chance, go over to Dave's YouTube channel, therattle.ca, and subscribe down there. Dave, if you could pull up that Facebook page or that link, go ahead and pull it up so you can post it up there. I'm just going to run through the chats real fast before we take a commercial break. Alrighty, I want to welcome Andre Burgess. Oh, let me get the chat search and then we can put it. Burgess, the storyline of Doctor Who itself is some kind of clueless about quantum chromo thermodynamics overall. More physics jokes will be made this series more realistic. Okay.
Well,
we'll see what physics happens out there. Astrovery, hail to the traveling TARDIS here to find out how bad who has become my apathy of all who is big, so it's dead to me. Okay.
Aww.
Okay. Well, let me address this. I got to say this. The fourth episode of this series, where the hell is it? The fourth episode of the series, which is The Village of the Angels, introduced Professor Jericho. And I think for a brief moment, we were going back to traditional, good, classic New Who with a really great running story. And it really had a good ending as well. Not that you know, the Doctor was turned into a weeping angel, but it was a runaway. I was feeling like we were getting back to the Doctor Who that we were accustomed to when we were dealing with RTD and Moffat. And I love that episode. And in fact, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to declare it. I think The Village of the Angels is the best of 13 of everything that she's ever done. I think this is one of the best episodes.
Definitely one of, yes.
Yes. Without a doubt. Then Survivors of the Flux showed up and killed it. And I was reviewing this with Mark Muncy of Erie, Florida, and we were just bashing the heck out of this episode. I was like, the best way, and then full disclosure on Dave, he has not seen, the fifth episode as of yet. But the best way I can put this, and see, I don't want to give you an impression about it. The best way I can put this is going to a Thanksgiving Day dinner and someone bringing in McDonald's to the dinner table and saying, here you go. It felt like fast food. It was like, okay, it tastes great, but it wasn't fulfilling. This wasn't really the story I was looking for. Okay. So, I mean, that was, if I had to summon up the fifth episode as far as a review, that's how I had to review it. I gave it a 2. I forgot. I think Mark gave it a 2 as well.
Here's a reflective question for you.
Sure.
Do you feel that because if this is here was your Village of the Angels, mm-hmm. and this was so good coming out of it, did that skew this down lower?
No,
I
think 1 in 5 suffer from the same thing. And this is when I rated the first episode, the Halloween Apocalypse, I gave it a high review. And I think over time when I was looking into it, I think I gave it too much of a good score. And the only reason why is because I felt, and this is, I kind of heard it in whispers, but I know I've acknowledged here. I don't know if I'm the first person to say it, but it felt like somebody strung along a bunch of great movie trailers and said, this is an episode. So take like movie trailers from Marvel films, put them all together and say, this is a movie. And it felt like it was disconnected. You know, it felt like we were running fast on things. And it felt like when we finally got to the climax, to the end of the scene, I'm like, what just happened? Now, I was excited because I was going in there with low expectations, but that was just me. Because I had seen what the last episode was, and I was like, this is this is not a really great episode. You killed a TARDIS. So I was just like, yeah, exactly. So that was so somebody didn't see the doctor's wife. So I just felt like it was a runaway steam train of little things that were being put together that had no cohesive value. And instead of having like, this is a great script and everything, it felt like it was just disconjointed mess. It was like, oh, look, here's a weeping angel. Oh, here's something. You know, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody else felt differently because I noticed people when we were asking around and doing polls and we're rating it, you know, they gave the episode a 10. I'm like, please tell me why. I couldn't. Mark and I were sitting around here going like, this is just a mess. Whereas the Village of the Angels had one storyline that was cohesively going, even though it went a little bit weird, it still had a focus. Mm-hmm. And it was brought on, it did have a great reveal. It did have a great payoff in the end. That's just my opinion on that one. What did you think of it? I guess I don't know if you were here to rate that one.
Which one?
The fourth one. The Village of the
Angels. I loved it. I don't think we rated it. Wasn't that the one I did by myself? That the one it was me and Mackenzie?
Yeah, it was you and Mackenzie, but I think that was Ward the Simtarns.
Okay, never mind then. But yeah, no, I did see it though, and it was great. I loved it. It was, I agree with you. It was definitely one of the best episodes. Definitely a little bit of a, whether it was inspiration or just dumb luck coming out of the Lonely Assassins video game. I definitely noticed that in that episode.
You see, I don't think on that because it was the only episode in this whole series that was not solely written by Chris Chibnall. It was also written by Maxine Alderton, who wrote the Diodati episode. And that was a good episode.
Yeah.
In Jodie's run. I thought that was a good episode. So for me, I saw a lot more of Maxine's writing from the Diodati, if that's the only example I have, to what I saw in the next episode, which was Chris Chibnall's stuff, and there was just a basic cluster. Yeah, it's the same thing like 42 with having all those locks that they had to go through the ship. I'm like, well, what was the point in that? It was really just, okay, whatever. But let me go ahead and get back to the chats.
Yes.
Mark Robinson says, my personal views of the Flux, I would put in the same place as The Class and Australian K-9 TV series. I think that may not be a good rating because I didn't like Class at all. And I have yet to see the K-9 spinoff series out there. Looking forward to it, Dave. There you go. Mark Robinson, chocolate box, who me? Now I am a saint. We have discovered Mel loves for Sherbert. And want to welcome Ramona. Hello, Ramona. No spoilers. Watch twice. Okay, thank you. Please keep it spoiler-free. And let's bring David Rossler in. David, hi, Christian. I heard you mentioned at Neurotic. Yeah, I actually go visit Neurotic. You know who he is, right? Gary Beekler, Neurotic.
Okay.
He made a statement, and he made a statement that there are some people out there, podcasters, Doctor Who-wise, that are trying to like keep the peace. And he mentioned Dan at the Spacebook and the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. And I get it. It seems that in the social media world, I don't begrudge Gary by this. It seems to me in the social media world, we do have, and you know, when it comes to like things like cancel culture and just people just, you know, going after each other because they like and don't like something. And they say, my God, it's a TV show. Come on, guys. It's been draining. That's why I kind of just stay away from things like Twitter and the social media because it's, you know, I see the fights going on and it's just exhausting. Just like, guys, you know what, really?
I managed to avoid fights on Twitter. Twitter is a very surprisingly positive space for me.
Yes.
Mainly because my only account on Twitter is basically the rat holes.
Okay. It is
technically a work page.
Right.
So, no one at none of my team are shy about their politics and such, but I try not to at least actively start fights on that account. Facebook? Oh, you've seen my comments through your feed. No, I start fights on Facebook all the time. Well, that's my page.
I will put something, you know, I can post something like, I don't like Jodie Whittaker. And then I'll, you know, if I put something like, I don't like Jodie Whittaker, I'm just saying that. I'm not projecting. I'm just saying this as an example. I will say, I don't like Jodie Whittaker. I'll throw in the Traveling TARDIS. That thing will get like 200 messages, and 99 of them will be like everybody fighting each other.
Yeah.
So I just, as a geekdom, this is the place where I said, you know what, this is where the line is drawn. If you want to have your own opinions, fine. That's it. If you like Jodie, if you don't like Jodie, this is the place where we say your opinion matters. We need to work together. We're Whovians. So let's find some common ground. I don't expect you to like every Doctor. Somebody was asking me about this. I mean, we were revisiting that question, you know, what is a fandom or what is a fan? And I said, we came to the conclusion that a fan is what you say you are. As long as you like something about the geekdom, that's your call. I can't come out and say you're not a fan of something because that's not my right. If you like one book and it happens to be a story about the Second Doctor and you like nothing else about Doctor Who and you refuse to watch the TV series, you refuse to read the books, you refuse to read the comic books, what do you say, David? Do you think you're still a fan, or you just, that's not enough?
I would say you are a fan of that book. In that example.
Okay.
If you have like one specific thing and none of the rest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I would argue that makes you part of the fandom, without a doubt. But it makes you a fan of that one thing more than everything.
But the question is, are you a fan? And I would argue that there are people who could run rings around me because they've read the comic books. They've read all the books. They've read Lungborough. They've done all the research. They've got their subscriptions to Doctor Who magazine. They go to every single convention, for God's sake. And I think I have, I would say if I was to skill level myself between 1 and 10, as far as knowledge of Doctor Who, I would say probably between 6 and 7.
Because you're higher than me.
Well, this is from watching episodes of Doctor Who when it was on VHS and was on PBS. So, and I've seen, you know, some of the classic stuff, meaning going back to the first Doctor all the way up to the third. And I've seen it. I could use a refresher course. It's been a while. But I mean, it's really hard to say to somebody else you're not a fan. Mm-hmm. However, I do think there are levels of experience in the fandom. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say I kind of rate between 6 and 7 on that. But I would never go up and criticize, hey, you're not a fan. But
if that example came up to me and said, I'm a fan, I would not dispute that.
Right.
That I'm not, yes, by all means. If you identify as a fan, you're a fan, period, right. End of sentence. By my standard, would I consider myself a fan in that scenario? No. I would say I'm a fan of that one thing, not of the fandom.
Okay.
You know.
Even though it's a part of the fandom.
Exactly. You are a fan of part of, and you are a part of. Right? But there's so much more that, in this case, that you don't like than what you do.
Right.
Like I said, it's one book out of thousands of books.
And, right, but I could change the parameters. I don't like Jodie, but I like David Tennant. Or I like all the male doctors before her. I don't like Colin Baker, which was back in the 80s a thing. People did not like Colin Baker's interpretation of the Doctor. Does that make him any less of a fan? They watch the TV series, but they don't listen to Big Finish. They just choose not to. Are they still a fan?
At that point, like I said, the first example was I like one specific book.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And that was why I say you're a fan of that book, not necessarily of any, you know.
And if anybody wants to, And if anybody wants to hit up on this question, by all means, but see, this is where the reason why I use the one book example is, where does the line cross? Can I watch?
And that's a personal line. Yeah. And I think that's both sides of that scenario. Yeah.
What I don't like is people coming out and saying, well, you don't like Jody. You're not a fan. I'm like, you know, if anybody says that, BS. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, if you don't like a certain doctor, and I do know a few women who don't like David Tennant, go figure. That's yeah, they exist. Yes, they do exist, and it's fine. And people who, when we went to conventions, who had their misgivings about Jody, were like, you know, I'm not too hip on this female doctor. I didn't go out there and criticize them. I would say, listen, give her a chance. 2-3 episodes. After the third episode, if you are not on board, I'll see you next time. I will see you at the regeneration. I didn't tell him you are not a fan. I didn't tell him don't let the TARDIS door hit you on the way out. I said, I'll see you at the next regeneration. It just didn't work for you. And I just see it as much as if they like Christopher Eccleston, but they didn't like David Tennant. They like David Tennant, but they didn't like Matt Smith. If they liked Matt Smith, but they didn't like Peter Capaldi. I'm not going to there to judge and criticize. Now, if they walk up and said, well, you know, even if they say, you know, I just feel uncomfortable about a woman being the role. It's not my thing. I'm not going to criticize of being sexist. I'm like, that's their choice. For me, if you want the fan to grow, you need to convince them. It is not the onus of the fan to prove that they are a fan of the geekdom. It is the onus of the geekdom to keep that fandom going. Mm-hmm. And if it's not doing their job, I can say certain movies that didn't do their job, then Last Jedi. Then you know then they're gonna.
That was a brilliant movie.
Yes.
Rah! Fight,
a handful
fight.
Of people down there, and we're going to continue with the chat. Ramona says Village of the Angels was the best. See, that's right. Folks, we're just going to go to commercial break. When we return, we're going to continue on. If you have any predictions you want to bring in, by all means, we still got a lot of chats to go to. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for subscribing. Help us get to 2,000. We appreciate that. We'll be right back right after this commercial break. Please continue to stay logged on, tune in, and become part of the legend. Where is my thing?
Jackie Sonnenberg's My Soul to Keep is a ghost story rooted in the realities of actual cults. When 13-year-old Skye Monroe arrives at her new boarding school, all she can think about is death and connecting with the afterlife. Soon, she discovers her school's spirituality group, the Guardians of Light, and they have a secret. They can speak with the dead, and the organization is a cult. But this isn't Skye's only problem. The campus house where Skye resides is haunted, and even the ghosts have an agenda. They intend on getting the souls they want. Filled with mystery and intrigue plucked straight from the headlines, author Jackie Sonnenberg's research and attention to detail give this ghost story an even more eerie atmosphere. Find My Soul to Keep on Amazon.com today.
Meet the Doctor.
I'm the Doctor.
But not the one you were expecting.
All right, sexy. It's time to go home.
Doctor Who Velocity, streaming now.
This is Misha T. Mulchen, your geek mom from Diversely Geek, and we wish all the fans of The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS a very happy holiday and a very happy new year.
Oh, brilliant! It's hard to believe that in the 56-year history of the greatest sci-fi television show in the English language, there has never been a fan guide to Doctor Who. The official books might give you what they think you need to know, but only a guide written by a true fan will give you what you really want to know. Join Whovian, the brilliant Mackenzie Flohr, as she takes you on an intensive journey inside the world of the first female Doctor. In the Binge Watcher's Guide to Doctor Who, Season 11. Right, let's get a shift on.
If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, our Twitch page, on our Facebook page, thank you for joining us. Don't thank us. We're powered by Ragent.
Hey there, this is Meredith Loughran with Ragin', and I wanted to let you know that we encourage and promote independent creators and their projects through organic interaction, consultations, and more. Visit Nita and me at RaginAVC.com for details and contact information.
Hit the button.
You know, Dave, every time that Meredith says hit the button in that commercial, nobody knows what the heck we're talking about. So, like, what button are we supposed to be pressing? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. My name is Christian Basil. I'm here with Mr. Dave Chapman of therathole.ca. We are in the middle of our prediction segment. We're going to be, for those of you just joining us, we're doing three parts. We are doing the Doctor Who Flux review of Chapter 6, The Vanquishers. Right now, we are in our first stage, the predictions. In the next half, less than a half hour away, we're going to be going live to the BBC America. Now, unfortunately, you will not be able to see it with me. You will just be able to see my reaction because BBC has something to say and they don't want us showing it. But at least you'll get to our reactions. And for those of you who are joining me simulcast, let me know if you're watching on BBC America. Of course, the commercials will come on. If you're watching it with me live while I watch it, I'll be telling you along the way where I'll be stopping and starting. So if you want to stay with me as far as when I'm watching it, by all means, go ahead. And in the final hour, we're going to be doing the review of The Vanquishers and pretty much the review of all six chapters of Flux. So I know you haven't seen the fifth episode,
yes.
Which asking you how, what your predictions of the sixth episode is going to be, but where you are so far, where do you think this is going? I mean, what do you, where do you think this is going to be?
And part of this kind of goes on what my prediction, how did, I don't mean what was in the middle. So the middle apparently was all over the place. Where do we end episode five?
Right.
Spoilers, everybody. Where do we end episode five?
You see, I don't even remember the episode that well. That's how bad it was.
Okay, because at the point we at the end of four, it was okay. The angels are working for Division,
right?
And it seemed implied to me, at least, that when they turned her into an angel, they were basically capturing her to take her back basically for another Trial of the Time Lord type thing, or a you're gonna come work for us shady Black Ops thing. Mm-hmm. Right, so if I was going to make a prediction, I would have said episode five would have been going there, and that six would be more of a resolution to, you know, her working with the Vision and leading up to, you know, where does the fugitive doctor land in this? You know, because there's been rumors that it's a 2.5 or I think it was a 6.5. Like, there's a couple of spots in the history, right, that a doctor could easily be shunted in. The big one being between 2 and 3, because right. You never see that regeneration.
Okay. I needed to do a refresher course. There was a, for better term, and somebody had mentioned this, and now I can't get out of my head. They did a retcon on Unit where they kind of did this Hail Hydra thing where somebody had implemented Unit from the past, and it got all the way up to Kate Stewart. She's being threatened that Unit's going to be deactivated, and they blow up her house. Vendors discovers a swarm. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm reading this, but I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
There was so much stuff, and it just, like, to try to process it was just weird. And plus, I'm just, my memory is going completely. Somebody was asking me about a certain year of a convention that I was at, and it's like, you know, I don't even remember the conventions anymore. They're one big gobbledygook of mess. I know.
How are we in December?
I know. The doctor watches helplessly as the swarm arrives to disintegrate Tectoon, which she makes an appearance. She turns out to be the baddie so far in the series amongst the swarm and such, and is about to do the same to the doctor. So that's where we ended it in the last episode. So go ahead and continue your thoughts there. I just wanted to read that out to you since I've just spoiled the entire episode.
So did we find out who they are as far as Swarm, like, identity-wise, Swarm and...
I think this is what the sixth episode is supposed to do.
Yeah, that's if they didn't invite that, then yes, that's exactly what I would say.
Because the division is just throwing me off. And it's just like, okay, we had something in the division. It wasn't called the division. It was the CIA, which is the Celestial Intervention Agency. I always believe that was kind of... if the Doctor has his and her moral compass, but I'll send Captain Jack in. Or the Seventh Doctor says, you know, you to Ace in Silver Nemesis, you know, you didn't have to bring that your case of Nitro 9 with you by any chance, did you? And Ace goes, no, I'm a good girl. And he goes, great, blow up that ship. she brought it. Yeah, so she knows she's full of it out there. So did you want to complete your thought, Dave, or did you want me to go to the chats out there?
No, let's go to the chats. Yeah, that's basically it. That's the big thing is, you know, who are they and how do they tie in? That's the big part.
Gotcha. I've been hearing Who Is Dead to Me since Eccleston's last episode, actually, since McGann's movie. I'm not giving up myself. Who is who? And there it is always at least one great episode per series. The thing about it is you can't keep a good doctor down. The weird part about it is you can put them down, but they can go out for a while. We did for 14 years. And then we had the wilderness years. We had the 96 episode, which is referring to the Paul McGann. But the doctor will come back. I think there is always a craving for Doctor Who. But I also think there is a direction that people want to take Doctor Who in, and I don't know if the Flux is the answer to that there. More on Andre Burris. Hello, human. Quantum thermodynamics is nothing more senseless as you laughing at space-time defined by Bohr, Heisenberg, Einstein, Ohm, Newton. But okay, I understand that you not understand one wording before. Okay. Tom Kosak comes in. Yes, Village was the best. This better... Then last week, I'm dropping last week's number to 3. This is a 5. Wow. Okay. Problem being, hey, man. Well, that was crap. Another year of this trend to be drawn out. Have a great show. You have people who are not happy with the direction of the show. Problem being, like I said, he's a fan. Mm-hmm. I've seen Problem being in other chat rooms. He is a fan. But he, like myself... The direction is just kind of a little bork. And after seeing the fifth episode, honestly, Dave, I don't really know how they're going to wrap this up. I really don't. They put out, take whatever Moffat explosion of spaghetti strands that you see on those hurricane boards and explode it tenfold. And that's what's going on with these lines of stories and arcs that are going in through the Flux. And I was just seeing this in the last episode and going like, where the hell are you going with this? Why is UNIT in here? You know, I think this might be more than just 6 episodes that needed to be addressed. And I definitely would have loved, especially with the last episode, Professor... I'm sorry, I can't get his name right. Jericho, Professor Jericho. He's definitely a companion that we should have more than 3 episodes with. If he leaves on this series, I'm going to be mad. Because Kevin McNally, when he came back in the 5th episode, it was great. Because he just fit right in all of a sudden with Dan and Yaz. And I was like, we should have been exploring him more.
He just drew all of that energy to him.
Yes.
And just bang. And you go, okay, I know who this person is.
Yes. And not only that, but
you know, that episode.
We were joking earlier that, you know, there was a rumor that he was the 14th Doctor. And I said, where's the money that I need to pay for that to happen? It's just like, yes, make him the 14th Doctor, by all means. He's a wonderful actor.
And again, this is not taking away from Jodie. You've said this before. She's never really had that space god moment. Dr. Jericho almost had that space god moment.
Yeah, exactly. But he's also fun, too. And somebody had mentioned... I wish I knew it was, and I was thinking the same thing. He's kind of filled in the blank that Graham left.
Yeah.
He's he's kind of filled in that blank that Graham left. I know you haven't seen the fifth episode yet, but once you see how the three of them, because they're separated from the Doctor, if you see how Graham and Dan and Yaz work together, I was just like, wow, okay. And the Doctor could be actually in his own, he could be in his own series. Don't ever watch the Australian K-9. It will scar you like the Christmas holiday special. Did it to say fans.
I assume that's supposed to say Star Wars.
Yeah, that's fine. I actually saw the Star Wars episode. See, the problem is I'm a big Harvey Korman fan.
Lots of things. Cara Burnett.
From Cara Burnett, yeah. So that's why I'm okay with it. But I'm like, I get it. I don't watch it every Christmas, and no. It's hard to find
My only complaint is that the Lego Star, I think it's the Lego Star Wars holiday special, which is apparently quite good. Yeah. Why is it on Life Day one? Because that's just sad. Gotta at least take that cheap shot.
Yes. Tom continues, I know someone that wouldn't watch Matt Smith because he was younger than them.
Yep.
But I think the acting paid off for Matt because for me, Matt, even though he was in a younger body, the way he portrayed the Doctor, his interpretation of the Doctor felt more like the old man who just happened to be in the younger body.
Yeah.
That's all it is to me.
I love Matt. Like, my friend Jack is in the same boat. He has never and will never watch any more than he has of the Matt Smith years. Whereas he is, if you ask me who my modern Doctor is, I usually will say Matt Smith. He's been probably my overall favorite of the new Who.
It took a while. It took like an episode or two, because I had to get used to that story arc that was going on over there, the girl who waited story arc. But once he started rolling, the moment that the space god moment that Jodie has yet to hit was the moment when he was standing with the Atraxi. He says, "I'm the Doctor, basically run," and that's when I knew, hey, we've sealed the deal. This is Matt Smith. He's the Doctor. David Tennant is standing in front of the Sycorax and says, this planet is defended. And he's had quite a few more over there.
Yeah.
That's when we know we're off and running. When Christopher Eccleston is standing in front of the Destine consciousness going, I am talking. Now I've seen all the classic Doctors standing there right on top with him, telling off the Destine consciousness. That's when I've seen the space gods. And there are plenty of examples, not only in classic Who, but in new Who, of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Jodie has come real close. And I gave her credit at one moment, which I think was Revolution, which was the one where she is talking to the hologram Dalek, the one that the Dalek that ended up on the girl's back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then she flips a switch, turns it around, there's the hologram of the girl Dalek, and she goes, now say it to my face. That moment was like, okay, we're almost there, come on. And then it just didn't continue on. But that's just me, whatever. Mark Robinson, problem is, if someone judges you because you're a fan of something and judges you because you don't like something in your fandom, walk away. Be kind, never cowardly. Remember, it is your fandom, not anyone else's. They will always be haters. Well, yeah, it's not everybody's going to like everything in a fandom, and everybody's going to have their differentials in what they like and what they believe in, what they think is, you know, proper about the fandom. But I do think that there is a linear running story to the Doctor. When the Timeless Children came out, and I was pissed off, I shut off the Doctor, Doctor Who.
You did.
That was my second time. The first one was Orphan 55, and that's another episode altogether to talk about. But that was the first review I couldn't even give a... Yeah, that was the first review episode I couldn't even give a review to. I said, I need more time with this. I don't even know what to give it a number. And my conclusion was, you told Bruce Wayne he's been Superman the whole time, and that Clark Kent doesn't even matter anymore, because now the Doctor has no limitations. There are no stakes. Mm-hmm. Well, the Doctor can die three times, you know, like they did in The Curse of Fatal Death, and it doesn't even matter anymore because the Doctor has no stakes. The Doctor, I think, being kind of grounded in that human level that they can die, and for me also, the Doctor is not the Doctor because the Doctor is a chosen one. The Doctor is the Doctor because of the choices that the Doctor has made.
Yes.
That is the defining moment. And when you went into Timeless Children, you pulled that away and you made him, her, the chosen one. And I was like, I don't like that. I like the doctor having the limitations, because if you don't have the limitations, then there are no stakes for the doctor to obtain.
I kind of, I don't disagree with you on that. Okay. At the same time, I kind of gave that there was going to be no limitations eventually. It came to a point, you know, right around Matt Smith, right? When we started going, wait, we're running out of regenerations here. You know, it was inevitable.
That was another story.
But that it was inevitable. It was Thanos level inevitable. There was going to be something, whether we like it or not. Okay, but you know, they had to do something.
Well, they had to do something.
I think someone would have done it better than Chibnall? Probably.
Yeah. Well, but here are the things that we don't know how many regenerations he was given.
Yeah.
It could have been one more. That was it. So,
but we know the series is too popular.
Right.
And we know that no actor is going to stick around.
Right.
We know that, like, we just know that they had to. We know that no actor was going to stick around forever and a day.
Well,
we know that the series wasn't going to get shut down.
Well, both Capaldi and Colin Baker both said that they wanted to try to be the longest serving doctors. Both of them were removed earlier than I think they should have been, in my opinion.
Definitely Capaldi for sure. I have not.
Capaldi for
sure. Just for the record, I'm working on this, I will be shortly working on the Sixth Doctor RPG sourcebook. And that's how I've been working on my classic doctors. I intentionally left the ones I haven't watched until I'm working on that book. Homework. So I can't speak to him other than because most of my stuff with him has been Big Finish. With Capaldi, 100%. I would have loved to have seen another 2 or 3 years of him at the very least, because he finally caught his stride in that third series.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I know he was having some physical issues as well with the way the role was. So that's not a deal.
All right. I'm just going to let me run through the chats, because we got like 4 minutes before the show starts. Yeah. Tom, similar. I've had a friend that couldn't take more than 3 episodes of Matt, couldn't get into Capaldi, and hated the idea. I thought he said IKEA. He hated the idea of a female doctor. My opinion, you're lost, pup. That's the thing. I wouldn't even go as far as your loss, Bub. And I said, hey, you know, for me, it's not only the way that people react, but it's the way that the geekdom reacts back to them. Just say, hey, bud, we'll see. And, you know, she's going to be gone in 2022. Let's check back with you. Andre, you posted a YouTube link. I don't know where it goes, but if anybody, I can't recommend, but there's a YouTube thing. It says ironic on and off. I'm just being careful about things now, especially that I got hacked. Mark says, retcon unit, they destroy unit. Yet again, Gurr, they make CPL Lethbridge. Oh, Corporal Lethbridge do it. R. Yeah. Tom, true. Dave, true. I was wondering if you survived the chat earlier as I watched from the shadows. Ramona says, I admit Hagen in the classics, even though I got to support the home team for the gals. There's about 4 episodes of Jodie that I enjoy. There are girls that I know who don't like Jodie. Yeah. Actually, there are quite a few girls, women that I know who are not happy because the doctor's female. Go figure. It's not just the guys out there. It's the girls out there as well. Not a spoiler, but this should have been a full season. Yeah. I agree too. We need to. Yeah, it was too crunched up in there. Too much put together. As I noted on my Facebook page, and Christian goes full Hulk. There you go. Whatever that means there. David continues, when people needed to ask questions and watch an episode more than once, the cause is obvious bad writing, Ad Whitaker's bad acting, and here we are. And people I know are kind of on the rails about Jodie's acting. I kind of feel the same. Not that she's a bad actress. I don't know if her interpretation is something that is my favorite or something that I'm impressed by, because I've seen her in other roles, including Broadchurch, including Attack the Block, and there is some acting chops that she's got, and they've never, ever pushed it. And that's the thing about the Doctor in today's New Who, is that there is something about taking on the role, and the term that I've been using constantly is the space god. So if you can't hit that role, it's hard. So got it. Let me run through the chats real fast. And Dave, if you can do me a favor, just run the commercials beforehand, because I'm going to go set up and then I'll be right back. I want some chocolate crash shoes. Just hungry. Shush about the chocolate. There we go. Well, now you guys are making me hungry. I agree. Dave Smith is the best of the new Who, hands down. How many times can we make Time Lord victorious? That is a good question. I haven't even explored Time Lord victorious. It just seems to be out of my wheel well. Folks, we're going to suspend the chats for right now. We're going to finish. Damn, the show only full context or leave me in a comment below. Thanks for the traveling TARDIS. I'm sorry, Andrew. We're going to go through the chats, and I'll be going through them. If you want to continue on the chats, I'll be displaying them. But for the next hour, I'll be watching the episode. Dave's going to be running commercials for me. I'll be right back because I'm getting set up to do the watch party. Dave, I'll be right back. Thank you, folks, for stopping. Please continue to stay logged on. Tune in and become part of the legend. Hit it.
Hello, my lovelies. Now, while I'm travelling around the multiverse in my number 22 bus, I'm thinking of you all on your holidays, and I know you'll all be listening to the legend of the travelling TARDIS. Ooh, with all them gorgeous doctors inside. Ooh, hang on. Panda's just got a nice little drink for me. So I'm with my drink in my hand. I toast you all and wish you all a wonderful, happy holiday. Woohoo!